we notice that the literal nature of his words when we see his very body was literally broken. His very blood was actually spilled, the body of God incarnate. There's little else, little more else in our lives that is more precious to us or more painful or significant to lose than our bodies. The one thing that seems very much our own, the one thing that seems very much essential for life and everything that we do, this physicality that we inhabit, this skin we walk in, it's so easy to take it for granted, to forget until something threatens it. And then we are suddenly reminded of just how precious and fragile these bodies we have been given can be. So we have to wonder, why would God, the Almighty, why would God, the Omnipotent, submit to entering such a fragile thing as this, a body? And moreover, why submit to the violence of this world and submit this most sacred, most holy, and most guiltless body of all the ages to be ravaged as Jesus did? Why? Well, how else could a perfect being such as God appreciate and comprehend our human experience of fragility and suffering? And if God could not appreciate the human experience, then how could God possibly hope to redeem it? So Jesus comes. So now when our bodies are broken and abused, God fully knows and understands that pain. God is fully present and there with us. And oh, how often, how fiercely, how many bodies there are in this world that have been hurt and broken. But in every instance, God is there. God knows. God feels. You see now, because of what Jesus has done, we hear this, that for bodies broken and injured, destroyed by war, we hear Jesus say, "This is my body given for you." For bodies stolen and trafficked, for bodies abused and hidden, Jesus says, "This is my body given for you." For many of us who have experienced firsthand in ourselves or in those we love, our own bodies being invaded and devastated by sickness and disease, Jesus says, "I feel your pain, and this is my blood shed for you." For 17 bodies, some kids and children, shot dead in their school in Parkland for no reason other than proximity, or for the one shot in his grandparents' backyard in Sacramento for no reason other than the color of his body, the one given to him by the Creator whose image he was made in. Jesus says, "My body is given for you. My blood is shed for you." So tonight we remember and we dwell in these words of Jesus. In a world so bent on the destruction of bodies, we begin to see just how desperately we need the redemption and salvation that Jesus brings this night. You see, while our bodies can be broken by death, and death was once the final chapter in our stories, the body of our Lord Jesus Christ cannot stay dead. His body cannot help but be raised up to new life, to go out to wash feet, to heal, to preach the good news, and his body cannot help but go out and infect our bodies with the contagious gift of eternal life. His body, you see, transforms our bodies. Through this transfusion of love, we have a transfusion of life. Our broken bodies become his risen body. We become, in a very real sense, the body of Christ, risen to new life, now able to give ourselves away in the same way that he did, without fear. To give away what we have been given, to be able to go out with our physical selves to do the work of healing and feeding, of sharing and serving with our physical hands and our actual feet that are now his hands and his feet. In a world bent on destruction, because of what Jesus does for us, we now can join him in the work of redemption. And when I think about hands and feet going out and serving, I think about a young man named Daniel Oyango. Daniel is a young man I'm privileged to call a friend. He lives in Nairobi, Kenya. He has a ministry there called Hope Raisers that he began and organized with some friends as they started to think about how to embody this life of Jesus where they were. They put their hands and feet to work to bring healing and hope to their community through serving. And when we think about how Jesus bent down and washed the feet of his disciples, following in this way of Jesus, Daniel started working with kids, with the feet of kids, in Korogocho, Kenya, but in a surprising and unexpected way. You see, Daniel lives in this part of, just outside Nairobi, Kenya, this place called Korogocho, which is this packed slum full of people. It's only about 1 square kilometer, which for those that think in miles is less than half a square mile. And 100,000 people live on this area in extreme poverty, living on top of each other. And so many of them are young kids, and there's no space for the kids to run with their bodies, to jump and laugh and play soccer and run on grassy fields. So they had to get creative with how they were going to serve. So they started a skate club, roller skates, rollerblades, as you may have saw when you came in. Daniel is a musician and an artist at heart, but they needed a way to connect with these kids if they were going to mentor them and minister to them and to get them off the streets and focus their energy into something positive. So they started this skate club because they have these narrow paths that are paved that the kids can skate on. And Daniel is this amazing human being. When he came and spoke at the ELCA headquarters where Gail and I were at for a glocal training a couple years ago as our keynote speaker and teacher, he was speaking to us in English, which is actually his third language. And I'm embarrassed to say he was at least as articulate as I am, probably more so. He's a brilliant young man, a gifted musician. He could go anywhere and do anything he wanted, but he chooses to stay and work with the feet of these kids. And so on this night that we remember how Jesus washed feet, we're going to watch a video that's going to talk about Daniel's ministry, Hope Raisers. And we're going to share one of his songs that he wrote. And all of our loose offerings tonight will go to support the ministry of Hope Raisers for our friend Daniel, who washes the feet of kids in Kenya.
Largest slum in Nairobi. It's a square kilometer of land, just 1 square kilometer of land, and it's inhabited by about 100,000 people in population. So you can imagine the amount of congestion is there because 100,000 people living in 1 kilometer square of land.
A majority of the people who live here are children and young people. And most of them, especially the children, come from the single family.
Many young people don't have an opportunity to access quality education, quality health care. So this makes young people all their life to revolve around Korogocho. So you are born in Korogocho. If you are lucky, you get an opportunity to go to school in Korogocho. Then you are not inspired enough. You either fall into crime or into drugs or even you don't have even people who inspires you to do something positive.
Initially, it started as a music group where we just wanted to play music and share our inspiration of a better community of opportunity for our young people.
Also, the same year, started the Hope Raisers Roller Skating Club. So it was the first ever skating club in the slum, and currently it's the biggest skating club we have in Kenya.
Hope Raisers has been a really inspiring organization to follow. They work very good with how they understand the youth in Korogocho. They understand what they want, they understand what they need, and it's been really interesting to see how they use cultural tools like sport, music, and art to give kids opportunities that they wouldn't have. Some of the kids here, they have it really rough, and it's really good to see that so many people in, for example, Hope Raisers, care so much that they can take their time and effort and put their soul into their work to help these children realize their dreams and create different opportunities.
The major challenge that we face is that most of us within the Hope Raisers, we work as volunteers. It's very challenging working as a volunteer on a voluntary basis. When you have bills to pay, you have personal needs, sometimes it's very, very difficult.
Music, which was like the initial idea that we started with, has created a ripple effect that can be felt by many other people. So for me, it's not about just singing and passing the message, but it's also about living with the people and journeying with them and showing them the direction. It might not be the correct approach, but at least it is a symbol that even musicians can become leaders in their community, not just by singing, not just by writing music, not just by playing music, but also by providing leadership.